All right, we ready?
Yep.
Ready? Okay. Just a couple things. Let me get a couple things out of the way first, all right? I'm probably a bigger Seahawks fan than anyone in this room, okay? Yeah. Just understand, I will put up my Seahawks fandom up against anybody's, all right? Okay. All right, and maybe. We'll see. We can kind of compare notes or things. But I would say I probably watched as many Seahawks games as anyone here over the last 20 years or something like that, or more, 30 years, because I watched every single one of them. Okay, so you can't, I mean, I don't know, but thing is, kind of along the lines of what Martin's saying, you know, there are some things that are just a lot more important than football games and things like that. It's fun, yeah, it brings us together, a lot of us, you know, and other people have other teams and stuff, and so part of the reason I didn't deck out in my Seahawk gear is I just didn't want it today, I didn't, for myself personally, I want it to be about something else. That's what I was thinking. And I'm not saying it to make anyone feel bad for wearing Seahawks stuff or anything like that. You know, go Seahawks. You know, I'm going to put my stuff on later on. But I was thinking a little bit along the lines of what Martin was saying. I had a little bit of an experience in my life, though, that was meaningful to me that helped out. I was, like I said, was such a big football fan. I played football. I wanted to play football in college, and I went and played a couple years of college, and I wanted to play professionally. I mean, that was the hope and the dream of a young boy, you know, whether or not that could have happened or not, whether or not I really had the size and speed and skills and things to do that. I mean, I tried at that for quite a while, but even when I stopped playing, football was something that I was very, very interested in. When I was younger, I'd almost just be dying in church to get out because I needed to get home and watch the football game. I just couldn't wait to get home and see what was going on in the football game and that. And one of the things that God did for me was when I was in after college, when I first started working, He put me in the church of this man who was a former NFL football player. And so he had played professionally. He played for the Dallas Cowboys, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Chargers. He was one of the first Seahawks that was taken in the supplemental draft and brought to Seattle. I get choked up. It's a problem. I can't talk about people like this guy because they mean a lot to me. The thought that choked me up, I'll tell you what it was. And when I can, I gotta get stronger. Help me get strong, guys. Gotta be a strong man, you know. He had this shirt when he came to Seattle. You can probably find it on the internet. It said, "Help me out, guys! Come on." I know I can do it in about 20, 30 seconds from now. You know, it just takes it moves by me. But his shirt said his name was it was Hutcherson, Ken Hutcherson. Said Hutch has come to Seattle to do God's battle. What was interesting for me, though, is here I'm this young guy. Football is so important to me. It's everything. And here's this guy who played professionally. And what I watched in him was that his Super Bowl was Sunday. Every Sunday. It was the church, you know. It was God. And I didn't understand him. Like watching him, and I thought he'd talk about it more, or he'd talk about his past. I mean, it would come up sometimes, but the more I watched that guy, I could see it wasn't about the football. That wasn't the most important thing in his life. It was the Lord. And he really lived his life for Him. And that was really what was most important. And so I began to see things different. And I'll tell you right now, if the Super Bowl were played at 11 o'clock Sunday morning, I would be here. And some of you say, well, Heath, that's your job. You get paid to be here. You'll be here because it's your job and you have to be here. And I'm not saying that if you made a decision different, I'm just telling you how I look at it. If the Super Bowl was Sunday morning during church, I'm going to be in church. And I have a DVR, and I'm going to watch it later. Amen? I didn't used to have a DVR. But just in what I saw in him and what I want you to see in me is that Christ comes first. You know, it's great that actually Christ's name can be shared and spread throughout the football game, and some of the football players can really live for Him and praise God for that. And we pray and we hope that people will listen to people that share that way. But, you know, as I was kind of thinking about it, I was just thinking about what a difference this guy made to me in his commitment. And I want to make that difference for somebody else. And I hope you want to make that difference to somebody else. And that it's God is first in your life. All right. Now, the thing is, we're living this life. And we've gone through all kinds of different things and had probably many ups and downs and stuff. But one thing that God really wants from all of us is He wants us to finish strong. Amen? To finish strong. Now, I think a lot of us have had problems in the past. We've had some false starts. We've had some things that we did that we're not proud of. You know, we've had parts of our lives where we haven't really lived for the Lord. Like the way I turned the mic off there. All right. Now what do I do with this? That's the question. All right. So we've had times where, you know, we could look at it as the fact that, you know, we had a bad start. Or we may have had a really good start, but then we may have collapsed somewhere and had times where we were just way off. And if you're thinking about your life in terms of a race, sometimes you were running the race really strong, and other times you just weren't running it very well at all. Amen? You know what I mean there? And the Christian faith is more about looking forward and looking ahead. You know, you don't have to be caught up in your past. You don't have to be caught up in all your failures. You can give those to God, and you can move forward. But definitely, He wants you to finish strong. Amen? He wants you. It's one thing to start well, but it's a whole other thing to finish well. Now, I think about my golf game a little bit. There have been times where I went out of the gate in my golf game and just, you know, like parred the first three holes or something like that, or maybe even got a birdie. I remember last time we were playing, not the last time, but one of the last times, I nearly got a hole in one. I think it was the second hole. I hit that ball just as straight as I possibly could ever hit a golf ball. And it felt so easy, and it just went, and it went up on the green, and it started rolling right towards the cup. And it stopped like this far away. Oh. And I almost was feeling bad. It was feeling so easy those first couple holes, you know, because I was with a couple other guys. I mean, Gary was there, and there were a couple other guys with us, and not to name any names. They were struggling. And I was off to a really good start. But you know what happened later on? What always happens to me? Collapse. Like, it has pretty much always happens to me. And I think it's probably when I start thinking about food or something, I start realizing how hungry I am out there. Gary always pulls out these like sweet tarts and things, and he offers them to me, and I think my golf game just goes down. But I've started well many times, but I've never really actually, I would say I've never really finished. I mean, I may have had a couple good holes, but like finished strong to the end in a round of golf. And maybe I will someday, but it's kind of a picture I see for myself. Now, an easy picture for me, and I'm going to share this, and I don't want to. I know the wounds are probably still a little bit raw from a couple weeks ago for like the Packer fans and things. So I'm not going to make too much of this, but you know, you could see it a little bit. It is a good example, I think, especially for people who are the Seahawks fans, that, you know, sometimes it doesn't really matter how well the game goes for three quarters or three and a half quarters or whatever, but you got to finish. You got to finish strong, right? And so that was something like in that football game. That's a picture of what you can see, and life is like that a little bit. That, you know, you may even be old, advanced in years right now, but you still have the opportunity to finish and to finish strong. Amen? Now this was Paul's concern for Timothy. He wanted him to be a strong finisher. And so when we get into this part of the letter, as he's closing out here, he writes to him, and he writes to him about this, about being a strong finisher. And we can take it, we can really apply it to ourselves today too. So let's take a moment and pray and ask that God would really help us to get this and understand this. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for your word. Thank you for this letter that, Lord, that you wrote through Paul to Timothy, and that we have for our edification and strength, Lord. And just use this today in our lives to build us up, to help us to grow, to help us to think right, and Lord, just to be strong finishers in what you have us do. Thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's go to it. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to actually go back and get the one verse of the ones that we did. Verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That's the passage that we're going to look at today. So let's go through and let's just talk about it just a little bit here. And he starts off, he says, as for you. So there's this continual contrast between Timothy being a man of God and people who are not doing it right. The false teachers are teaching the wrong things or living the wrong way or acting the wrong way. So there's this continual contrast. So I guess the first point that I would bring up for all of us is that there should be a continual contrast between us and the world. Amen? That it's okay that we're different. We can be set apart. We can be different. I could say, you know what, hey, I'm living my life for the Lord. I'm living my life to follow Him and to follow His Word. It's gonna make me different. It's gonna make me not cool in some people's eyes. You know, I probably am not gonna be able to get some of those roles in Hollywood that I thought I could maybe get. Because I love Jesus and I'd be willing to talk about Him and share in that way. And so you might get blackballed. It might mean that your CEO or your boss might think that you're not quite as intelligent as he might think other people are because you believe in the things of the Bible and you believe in that. You believe there's a God. You know, it can mean all kinds of things for you, but it doesn't matter because I'm a Christian. And Christian means it's like an insult that somebody came up with, and they said, "Oh, you're a Christian. You're a little Jesus." That's what it means. You're one of those little Jesus people. Little people that imitate Jesus. And then the people that love Jesus heard that and said, you know what, that's kind of good. That kind of sticks. I am a Christian. I do want to be like Jesus. And they took what was the insult and then they made it the name of what we are and who we are. And so, it's okay that we're different. It's okay that everybody doesn't like you. It's okay that everybody doesn't agree with you. In fact, in this world, everyone thinks that everybody needs to just agree on everything, but that's not true. Everyone's not going to agree with you all the time, and that's okay, and that's good. And this is what one of the things like Paul is saying is like, as for you, but you, it's got to be different in you. You got to be different. You got to have a different kind of marriage than everybody else has. You got to have a different kind of attitude at work than everybody else has. You got to be different about your desire to talk to God and to pray. There should be a contrast. There should be a difference. Now he talks about these things, and there are four things. Now this is kind of a little bit of an easy message here. There's going to be four things in the beginning and four things at the end. I'm going to list them. You can write them down in your bulletin if you want, and you can think about them all week. Four things here, four things there. He gives the four things. Now let me just read through it, and then we'll go through them point by point. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. All right, so these are the four things. Four things, and I put four things every Christian should focus on. So these are four things that Paul says, Timothy, as a pastor, you focus on these things. We have them in the Word of God, and I'm saying that, hey, this stuff is good for us too. It's good for all of us, not just for Timothy, not just for the pastor. It is especially good for all pastors, but it's especially good for all Christians. So the four things. So the first thing he said, you need to focus on this, being sober-minded. What does it mean to be sober-minded? It means to think clearly. So here's a list of four things that every Christian needs to focus on, or every Christian could do and could emphasize in their lives. Number one, think clearly. Think sober thoughts. Okay, so first of all, the sober that it's talking about here is not first to be intoxicated with alcohol or drugs or something like that. That is definitely something that would allow you, would make it so you can't think clearly. But that's not, it doesn't just stop there. That's not all it's talking about. It's actually much deeper, much richer than that. Okay, now, I believe that the Bible teaches us that we should not get drunk because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not under the control of drugs or alcohol or something like that. So, we know that. And so that would be something that would cause us to not think sober-minded. But there are other things that we can be intoxicated with. We can be intoxicated with pride. We can be intoxicated with things like possessions and material things that we want to have. We can be intoxicated with other kinds of pleasures. So all those things that get in can cause us to not think clearly And those are things that we need to focus on, making sure are not having power over us in our lives. We can actually be the kind of people that beat ourselves up really bad too. Where we're really hard on ourselves, and we beat ourselves up a lot. And maybe it is that we live in the past a lot about some failures and things that we've had. Or a lot of times I see the people that beat themselves up the most, they're perfectionists, and they can never please themselves. Okay, now maybe I'm talking to somebody here. But those are ways that we're not thinking clearly. When we get caught up in the fiery darts that the devil shoots at us, and that's what we focus on, and that's all we think about, we're not being sober-minded. We have to get with the truth. We have to think about the truth. Now, this is your life, right? In my workout class, the person that teaches it often, they say, hey, this is your workout. This is your workout. Make it so it works for you. Do your workout. So when she says do all these burpees and things, sometimes I say, hey, this is my workout. I'm going to do this the way I want to do it, you know. But this is your life that we're talking about here. And there are things in your life that probably cause you to not think clearly, and you feel certain things, right? You have feelings. Everybody here have feelings? Are feelings wrong? Is the feelings, are they kind of thing where somebody can come along and say, hey, don't feel that. You're not allowed to feel that. Right? You can't really do that to somebody else. You shouldn't. I mean, we probably do that, but you know, what you feel is what you feel. It's there. There's something to it. But what I want you to know is that your feelings are not always right, though. They're not always true. They don't always paint the picture of what reality really is. Amen? Amen? And you guys believe me on this?
Yeah.
And you cannot live your life based on feelings. If we live our life based on feelings, we're just up and down all over the place. We live our life on something else. We live our life on truth. The truth of the Word of God. The truth of Jesus Christ. The truth of His promises. We live our life in that. We have feelings all through that, and we have many ups and downs. And as we're anchored in Christ, a lot of times there's a lot more ups than there are downs. But we live our life on truth. And when we live our life on truth, then we're sober-minded. We can think clearly. That's along the lines of what it means to be sober-minded. So you know what? I'm like you. I have things, you know, that sometimes cause me to think. Like I think last week there were about 5 different things that happened around church, in and around church, that made me go home and just be totally anxious, like for like almost 48 hours. You guys are like, whoa, really? No, seriously, like about 48 hours, I just felt anxious the whole time, just feeling that way. Okay, and I had to like, in some ways, look at him and say, okay, Heath, what is making you feel anxious? Let's just take him one by one and like look at him and talk about him and think about him. It's like, okay, none of those things should really be making you feel this way, Heath. But you are, you know, I'm not denying that I'm feeling that way. I am feeling that way, and I'm praying to the Lord about it. But I'm not thinking clearly because I'm just being really anxious. And I have to go back and think about clear thoughts and think about clear truths and think about the Lord and think about what really is important and what really matters. And then that begins to unwind for me, and I'm not so anxious. Amen? Could you try that maybe? Think about that. But that's where I was, and about 2 days later, you know, I'm able to come out of it. It took me a little time. It didn't happen just right away. But I don't think I was thinking sober-minded or clearly. And it's something to think sober-minded or clearly is something I think as Christians we need to do. And as an elder at the church, I need to do. We need to all do. This is one of the qualifications to be an elder in the church is to be sober-minded, to think clearly. All right. So there's a lot of different ways that can be interrupted. Now that's number one. So that's number one thing to really focus on. Number two is to endure suffering. And suffering has many different forms. Sometimes it could be physical suffering, pain, sickness. It could be things that, you know, we bring on ourselves. It could be difficulties that we have, different situations. It could be persecution because of your faith. But he's saying the main message here is when you're suffering, you need to endure. As a believer, as a Christian, you need to endure through the suffering. That's what you need to focus on. And not having attitude like, I just can't, I'm going to give up. I'm going to quit. Now, as a pastor, Timothy, he'd probably have many reasons, many opportunities to give up and quit. Amen? Like when things didn't go the way that he'd hoped, or when he faced opposition or persecution or difficulty. And I probably in each one of those moments, he had the opportunity to quit or give up. And he's saying, no, you need to focus as a Christian on enduring through that suffering. And so for you today and me today, it's the same thing. We don't want to give up in our suffering. And sometimes that means, like, think of it like this. Like, let's use some examples, different examples. As, let's say I am a dad. I'm a dad, right? I'm a parent. And you know what? The best job in all the world, being a dad. Amen? Maybe mom is equal, right? Being a dad. Some of you gals can't be dads, right? But, you know, throughout history, many people have given up on being a dad. You know, they've checked out of that opportunity, and maybe they've been discouraged or different things. And sometimes there really is true pain that people have, and they feel rejection, and things are very difficult. But we need to endure in that. Amen? We need to endure. God wants us to endure. And so that's an example. So even though there's pain or suffering, difficulty, we got to endure through it, because there's a bigger job, a greater mission. Think about marriage. This is church. You have to be honest. Now, you don't have to raise your hand on this, okay? Nobody has to raise your hand. But have you ever just really struggled with your spouse and just thought, oh my goodness, I cannot take this man anymore or this woman anymore, and you feel like giving up? There's only one guy in the back that said amen. He's talking about his wife and how she feels about him. Yeah, Martin's afraid to say anything now. And I'm not, the thing is, these are your private thoughts too, you know, but the reason why people are getting divorces and things happen and people give up is, you know, that's Satan is shooting those fiery darts, and he wants people to be apart, and he wants marriages to end, and he wants kids to grow up without dads and moms that are married and together, and he wants to wreak all this havoc. Okay? And the fact is, though, sometimes you have to just endure through difficult times and trust God and pray through them and work to get through them and be committed to Him and be obedient to Him and to really follow Him and to endure through that and to not give up. And so I would say don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on being a dad. Don't give up on being an influence in your workplace. Don't give up on church. Serving in church. Do you know why one of the biggest problems in church is that people give up? People quit. They're like, they come and they try and they serve and they do things, and then something happens with another person and they quit and they give up. You know how common that is? This church would be 5 times larger than it is if that hadn't happened just many, many times here throughout the years. Amen? And so the thing is, we need to endure. And he's saying, this is, Timothy, you got to have this, endure suffering. Hey, what if you get a disease? What if you get cancer? You got to keep enduring, keep doing, keep working through it, keep living for Him. You don't know what's going to happen. What if something terrible happens to you? Endure. Endure in the faith. Keep walking with Him. Don't give up. So you got to endure suffering. And so we all need to do that. And then the third one was sharing the gospel. He said, do the work of an evangelist. And what's the work of an evangelist? Sharing the gospel, bringing people to Christ. He says that here's something you could focus on. I believe every Christian could focus on this. Sharing the gospel. When is the last time you shared the gospel with another person? And some of you are here, it's like, oh, I'm just terrified of that. That's just the most terrifying thing to think about. Or they'll think I'm weird, or they'll reject me right off the bat. Again, we got to be different. Amen? And so we need to really believe this as part of our mission. And believe me, I'm just like you. I have many failures to do this. And sometimes it's just, there have been really quiet periods in my life. And sometimes God catches a hold of me and just shakes me up and really reminds me of this. But He says, you want to focus on something of these things I'm talking about. There's 4 things. One of them is sharing the gospel. Now, the thing is, I'm going to use some examples just to help you understand. How many of you believe that I like Mod Pizza? Whether you like it or not, how many of you believe that I like Mod Pizza? Raise your hand, please. It's many of you here. Now, some of you are like, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. You know what Mod Pizza is or whatever. Mod Pizza, just for those of you who don't know, it's over in Sunrise Village. It stands for Made on Demand Pizza. I really like it. Not everyone likes it as much as I like it, but I really like it. And how do people know that I like it so much? Because I talk about it. Most of the time when I like something, I can't help but talking about it. When I really love, I mean, if I had a steak that was really good, I would talk about it. Amen? I got this great picture of Ralph. He's doing this. And it looks like he's putting something up to his lips and he's smoking something. But it's my steak. And he's saying, oh, that steak is so good. I made it at the men's retreat. Steaks at the men's retreat. But when you have something that you really love, you like, you can't help talk about it. It's just like praise. It just overflows. It just comes out of your mouth. Because that's how God made us. And in our Christian faith, it's designed to work that same way. You know, we're just bubble over the fact that God loves us and we have this relationship, but then we can't help but tell other people about it. It comes out of us. And it just bubbles out. And so that's something that we could focus on. And we can talk a lot more about that. And maybe I'll take some time and just share some different dynamics of this and aspects of this I think would help you all and would kind of prepare you and to train you to do that. And so you can grow in that. But that's a focus. That's a good focus we can have. And then the last one he said is fulfilling your ministry. Fulfilling your ministry. Did Timothy have a ministry? Yes, he did. Did he know what it was? Yes, he did. Could he? Is it something he could have gave up? Yes, he could have. But is it something that he could have kept with? And he's saying, keep it up. Fulfill your ministry. Do what God sent you there to do. Finish strong. Do that. That's along the lines of what he's saying. And so for us today, it's the same thing. We can focus on fulfilling our ministry. It leads to a question. What is your ministry? Every Christian should have a ministry. And we talk about this church. And when I say members, I'm not talking about those who are official members. I'm just talking about everyone who's regularly here. Every member is a minister. Every member is a minister and serves God and reaches out to other people and does something for the Lord. And so first thing is you need to know what your ministry is, and then you need to be faithful in it and you need to fulfill it. And recognize if you set your heart on serving God in some ministry, there are going to be things that happen that make you want to quit. Now, I think I'm just going to do this. I think I'm able to, Melissa. Your ministry is women's ministry, right? Has anything ever happened that made you want to give up and quit that? You ever been discouraged in that? Amen. And if I picked that, and if I went back and I went through the room, Martin and Linda, you're doing skate church out there and things like, do anything ever happen that make you want to give up or to quit out there? Or you feel alone and you feel overwhelmed by it? That's the case. We're going to all have that, you know. And so the thing is, we need to know what God wants us to do. We need to be clear in that. We need to know what our ministry is, and then we need to be faithful in doing it. It doesn't mean that whatever ministry you start, you know, you never can stop doing that. You know, really much believe in going and trying new things and that we have some things that, you know, don't work out, you know. But the thing is, we want to be faithful to God and what He wants us to do. And if He makes it clear that we're supposed to still be there, we fulfill our ministry. All right, those are four things. Four things. Now, there's just a little bit left here. I got four more things. But let's look at this text. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." So Paul turns to himself as an example, because Paul was faithful to the end, and he lived his life for the Lord, and he gave up a lot for the gospel. And he's saying, Timothy, you need to be faithful. And he says, you know, here, I'm going to be an example to you. I think my time is coming, he says. I think I'm near the end. It's my life is just about over. I'm already right now being poured out as a drink offering. Now, who is the true drink offering? Jesus is the true drink offering. And he's saying, you know, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. So Jesus gave his life up for us. But do you know that other people have also had to give up their lives for us? The apostles and Paul would be an example that he is going to die for us on our behalf. To have the gospel out there, to start the church, to serve in that way. And many of the other men of God did early on too, so that we can have this faith that we have. And he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering right now. You know, my time is coming. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And so this goes back to 1 Timothy in chapter 6, where he tells Timothy, he says, you fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Don't give up. He says, take hold of the eternal life. Take hold of it now. You know, it's there. He says, keep on fighting. Don't give up. And he's saying, with himself as an example, he says, I have fought the good fight. And then we see here at the end here is the example of what it means to fight the good fight. It means to finish the race, to finish strong, to keep the faith. And that is the key thing here, is to not give up on your faith, to not turn away from it, but to just keep it. and to stay in it. And the Bible says that it's he that stays to the end, stands strong to the end, is going to be saved. Because if we're truly saved, we will remain faithful to the end. God will do that. He'll preserve us. He'll make that happen. But this is significant and this is important. And we need to finish, and we need to finish strong this life that we're living. And then he says this. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And some people believe that when they go to heaven, God is going to give them a crown or different crowns, and they're going to wear that around. I myself don't believe that. I think this is more like a metaphor, and this is symbolic of, you know, what he's going to do. He's saying that you'll have the crown of righteousness. You'll have righteousness on you. And by the way, it's not only you, it's everyone who looks forward to Christ coming back. So I hope everyone who's saved and everyone who's here actually looks forward to Christ coming back, his return, his appearing. That's what this is talking about when it says loved his appearing. It's like you long for Christ to come back. You long for his appearing. You long for his return. You long to be with him. If you are that and that's you, then you have a relationship with the Lord. You're going to have the crown of righteousness. And again, does it mean that you really get a crown plopped down your head? I don't think so. We're not going to be like up in heaven with like different people wearing different crowns and badges and different things. But if you love the Lord, you have righteousness in your life, you know. By the way, also, people who believe that we get different crowns, this is like one of the verses that they would share, they do believe that we won't wear them, we'll take them and lay them down at Jesus' feet. You know, so if it works that way, that's fine. Okay, I'm just telling you, as having studied it through and thought about it, this is what I think, that it's this. It's kind of like the robe of righteousness that the Lord has. Is he really up there wearing a robe that has like righteousness on it? Or is that symbolic of him being righteous? And we'll be righteous before the Lord. So that's an encouraging thing for us to look forward to Jesus coming back again. Now here are the four more things. I'm not going to take as long on these as I did the first four. And some of these are very closely related. But the first one I have, four more things that we can concentrate on. It starts off with number five here, is living for Jesus. Now, Paul died for Jesus, didn't he? Yeah. Died for the faith. Is it possible that you might have to die for the faith? No. It is possible. But not necessarily. It may or may not happen that way. But one thing that is definitely 100% true is that you need to live for the faith. So it's not always a matter about dying and something dramatic happening, but it's about how are you going to live today. So the fifth thing that I think every Christian could focus on here is living for Jesus. Not for yourself, not for somebody else, but living for Jesus. Okay, the next one is been the title of this, is finishing strong. Finishing strong. Finish strong whatever God has you doing, whatever position He's put you in life, to be a strong finisher. Don't just be a good starter. Don't just be somebody that gets off to a good start. Be somebody that is a strong finisher. Amen? As a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as an employee, be a strong finisher. And then keep the faith. You know, anything, have that mindset that no matter what, anything could happen, the whole world could collapse around me. Everything could come tumbling down. I am not going to give up my faith for anything. Amen? I'm going to trust God no matter what. Whether there's food in the refrigerator, whether the bills are paid, whether I have a roof over my head, whether I'm liked or despised by everybody, whether I'm the most lonely person in all the world, I'm not going to give up my faith. Amen? And that's what we need to have. That's where we need to be. So keep the faith. And then the last one is this, just loving Christ's return, just longing for Him to be there, longing, you know, thinking about it, remembering that promise that Jesus is coming back again and expecting His return. And I think that the biggest teaching that we can have out of Jesus coming back again is that we need to be ready. And we need to be found doing what He wants us to do when He comes back. Amen? Amen. Have ourselves prepared. All right, that's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this. Thank You for these things we can focus on. These are not the only things, Lord, but these are just really great things from Your Word. And I just pray in a real simple way, Lord, that in our faith, in our worship of You, in the different places You've put us, that we would be strong finishers. Thank You. We love You and praise You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.